Hey, hey, it's Mother's Day weekend, and we got two stars at the box office, Gabrielle Union and Melissa McCarthy. Which one makes the grade? Stay tuned. Hi. This is Bang Bang Boogity. Hey, hey, hey. It's Carla Renata back with another episode of Black Tomatoes with Scott Menzel. We started out with Rapper's Delight because they did a little 80s mix action in Life of the Party. So, you know, that was my tribute to, to the soundtrack of Life of the Party. But anyway. We're black. I mean, I'm black. But anyway. Yeah. And who you at?
Who am I at? I'm Scott Menzel from We Live Entertainment. I'm not black, unfortunately.
As we have established many times before. So this is the thing. I absolutely love Melissa McCarthy. I think I've said it here 1 zillion billion times. I love her, love her, love her. Love her. I love the fact that she takes her initiative as a woman in Hollywood and creates her own vehicles, and she doesn't wait for someone else to cast her or to produce a film for her or direct it. Her and her husband make a great team. They direct their stuff together. And this one was no different. Ben Falcone, her hubby, and her produced another film for Mother's Day weekend called Life of the Party. And when I tell you, I had the best time ever. Best time. I never laughed so hard. I laughed so hard. My stomach, the theater I was in, everybody was cracking up. So I was a little disappointed that the numbers at the box office didn't reflect.
Yes.
The enthusiasm that I saw in the theaters.
I was more confused by the reviews. Because I felt like it's interesting. You and I both saw this movie at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it, my theater was had the same reaction. Everyone was like into it. They were loving it. Everyone was laughing. And then when the Rotten Tomatoes kind of floodgates came out, you know, I was watching, it was like at one point it was like at 21%. And I couldn't believe it.
See, and no shade toward Rotten Tomatoes, but dang.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was very disappointed, very, very disappointed with the box office outcome for that film, because it's funny.
Yeah.
And I feel like they always do that with her, and they always do it with Amy Schumer. I'm feeling like there's some hateration going on with women in Hollywood at the box office. I'm like, what the hell is that? I don't understand that. I don't like it. And I think it's uncalled for. They don't do that with the men. And there are a zillion really funny men that make movies, Will Ferrell, that drop and flop all the time. And you don't hear them rake them over the coals the same way that they do, you know, the women. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen when Tiffany Haddish's film,
Night School?
Night School comes out with Kevin Hart, because I'm interested to see if they're going to rake her over the
coals.
They would not want to, because really, I can't.
No, Tiffany Haddish right now is like the hottest thing going.
She's like gold, but yeah, there's that. So let's take a little look-see at part of the trailer to see why we laugh so hard.
Older, I'm wiser. This, essentially a Google. Ask me anything. Turn off your Google. You're scaring me.
I think my Google scared Jack last night.
Oh, my God.
But in a good way. Like when you intentionally go through a haunted house.
See, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I picked just a little snippet of the trailer, because there are people listening as well as watching. And I just wanted them to hear, you know, that was a joke. I'm pretty sure Melissa McCarthy didn't write that. I'm pretty sure they were just walking and that was something that she improv. But that's freaking funny.
It was. No,
that's
it really
funny.
Was.
I'm just, you know. And so for those who haven't seen it or who are going to see it, Life of the Party is about this mom who's like in her 40s, and her husband divorce, and she's feeling, you know, a little down in the dumps. And so she decides that she's going to go back to school, because she dropped going to school to raise her daughter and be with her husband, because he felt like it wasn't important for her to have an education, which I was a little annoyed at that.
Yes,
I was a little annoyed at that. I'm like, what kind of husband is he that he's not supporting his wife in that way? But I really like the fact that when she went back to college, she went back full throttle. She was in the sorority. She went to the parties. They had the whole 80s garb going on. She had the cougar thing happening with Jack. That was pure comedy. Her talking about that scene where she's telling Maya Rudolph, her best friend, about making out in the stacks with Jack. I hollered. And then she's trying to like fill her husband in on it. And her husband's like, what?
Yes.
It was pure comedy. I love this movie so much. I just loved it.
I thought this movie was terrific, too. I mean, it does have, you know, this one downfall is that it's cliched. I mean, you know where it's going to go. That's a downfall. I also will say that the first 10 to 15 minutes of the movie, it's a little bit of a slow burn in the beginning. But, like, once she gets into the college setting, that is just pure comedy. And what really works about this movie is the chemistry between all of the actresses.
Absolutely.
These
Absolutely.
Actresses are fantastic together.
Absolutely.
Gillian Jacobs from Community is in this. Heidi Gardner from Saturday Night Live is in this. Oh, she's just great. She plays Lenore.
She plays her roommate. Oh, my God. She plays her Satanesque roommate. Pure comedy. Oh, my goodness. You're right. This film probably wouldn't have worked if the women didn't have chemistry.
That's
because
right.
It centers around them. So I would have been really interested to see what the audition process was like, if they auditioned anybody, and what they may have had them do to get the role, because it was funny down.
I you know, it's so rare that you watch a female-driven comedy nowadays anyhow. I mean, we're seeing a few more of them pop up every year. But they've been kind of hit and miss for me. You know, like last year we had Rough Night and we had Girls Trip. And I thought Girls Trip was great. Rough Night, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
This year so far, we had Blockers earlier in the year, which was not that crazy about. I already shared my feelings on that.
Yes, you did.
But Life of the Party is a really nice female empowerment movie, too, where these women, like the men are in this movie. Don't get me wrong. There are men characters in here. But they're almost used as like the pushing off point to kind of further their lives and better themselves, and that's really empowering. And I think that showing Melissa McCarthy in this role and having her play, like, she does her antics where she falls down and she jokes and all that stuff, but there's a lot of great things to her about this performance, is that, you know, she shows us what a loving mother would do for our family. And I think that's something that we often forget, how much our own mothers probably gave up for us and our families.
Absolutely. Which brings me to this point. So the reason I love this movie so, and it resonated with me on a personal level, is that I watched my mother graduate from college.
Oh, okay.
There's a picture of me in my house right now with my mother in her nursing. My mother's a registered nurse. She has her nursing outfit on. It was at her graduation, and my brother and I are on either side of her. That was the day my mother graduated from college. And I take that picture everywhere I go, when I'm in a dressing room or on a set, that picture goes with me to remind me that nothing is impossible. So to say that, my mother and I took my mother to the film, and my mother
nice.
And I were walking out of the theater, and my mother only has an associate's degree. She never, because back in the day, you didn't have to have a bachelor's or a master's.
Right.
An associate's was good enough. And she had two kids. Who had time to go get a bachelor's with two kids, and they were a single mom? So I said to my mother walking out, I'm like, okay, I'll make you a bet. I will go and finish my education at UCLA if you go and get your bachelor's in nursing. She's like, okay, bet. So we got a little bet. We're going to go. That movie has inspired us to go back to school. So if my mother and I thought that, how many other mothers and daughters went to see that film and felt inspired that way? I mean, it's one thing to entertain with a film, but it's another to educate and inspire people. That's a whole another tip on the entertainment spectrum.
Well, I also, and I think, you know, kind of tying into this, is that there's a very natural progression in this film that I don't think enough people are talking about, where in a lot of movies like this, there's this formulaic kind of setup where, like, oh, the characters just kind of get thrown into a situation, they're annoyed. And then, like, all of a sudden, within the last 5-10 minutes of the film, you know, everyone loves each other. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah.
Yeah, that was not the case
this time. That was not the case at all. And it was really nice to kind of watch a movie where everyone was just kind of like, the more like they spent time together, the more they liked each other, the more they grew as everyone in this. You saw all the characters grow.
It was
they
a became, realism.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. They became courageous and took risks. It was really something special that I don't feel like anyone's talking about.
I agree with you on that. It was a total realistic view of life. Like, it didn't have that cliche ending of, oh, everything's back to normal and now we're all happy. Hoo hoo hoo! Ha! Hooray!
Yeah.
It wasn't that. It was the husband, you know, did what he had to do. What I really loved, because I was expecting her to break it off with her little boyfriend.
Yeah, right.
That didn't happen either. All right then.
Oh, and we can't talk about it, but there's a great scene about midway through this movie that's like a great surprise reveal. Did you laugh really hard? It takes place in a restaurant?
No, I know.
Okay.
I laughed my booty off at everything. But this was the one thing that I really laughed. And I don't know if you caught this reference either. So you remember did you see Waiting to Exhale?
Yes.
So in Waiting to Exhale, they made this big deal in Waiting to Exhale when Angela Bassett's husband left her. She took all his stuff in a wagon wheel out to driveway and set it on fire. So in this film, it's almost like Melissa McCarthy is making fun of that moment, mm-hmm. but it has a different kind of ending for her.
Yes, it does.
I laughed out loud when I saw that because I immediately was like, oh, she making fun of Waiting to Exhale. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. I really love that. So I would say we'll give our tomato ratings on this one at the end of the show, but I'm pretty sure we're going to agree
on that
one.
Yeah, we're going to probably be on the same page.
So I really, really enjoyed that and had a lot of fun. So let's move on to the next one. Breaking In. Okay, I can already tell you feeling some kind of way about that. So Breaking In stars Gabrielle Union as this mother who has, her father has unexpectedly lost his life. She takes her kids back to the house to pack it up and sell it for get rid of the estate, so to speak. And what she's met with are unexpected and uninvited visitors in this house. But this is what I'm gonna talk about. What I liked first,
okay,
because I'm pretty sure we're gonna feel the same way about this one too.
Okay,
I love the fact that her character Sean Russell was not a victim. Not at any moment in that film was Gabrielle Union's character a victim. She had total control of what was going on in that film at all times, as far as her character was concerned. She was never a victim. She was never like, oh, please help me, and somebody came and saved her. None of that ever happened. I love the fact that both of her children were really beautiful and smart children. They weren't like these kids that were like, oh, mommy, I need you. They were not those types of children. I love that. And I also love the fact that the main crook was kind of like, he was kind of like sexy cute. Like there was this moment where I was like, he kind of sexy cute. Like
Billy Burke.
I kind of want her to like hook up with him just for a split second, but that would so not be what this movie's supposed to be about. But anyway, and then this is what I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that it was a cliched home invasion thriller. Like that's what it was. There wasn't anything in that film that we hadn't seen in any home invasion thriller movie ever in time. We saw people running. We saw an attempted rape. We saw the one crook that's always like crazy cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like it was very cliched in that respect. But I did appreciate the fact that this is also, we were talking about Girls Trip earlier. This is also a Will Packer produced production.
Yes.
And Will Packer's on a roll. He had Girls Trip last year. He's got this one, and he's also producing Night Court. Well, I keep saying Night Court. Night School.
Did he do Almost Christmas?
Yes.
Yes,
I love
that one too.
He's a little bit on a roll. So I appreciate the fact that there are people of color behind the scenes. And Gabrielle is also a producer on this film as well. So I appreciate the fact that there are people of color behind the scenes and in front of the camera. I just wish that the script had been a little bit stronger. Let's show the trailer real quick.
You have no clue what I'm capable of.
She's in the house.
This isn't gonna work. You're done!
Notice. I broke into the wrong house.
Yes. So, what do you have to say?
That's Breaking In right there. No, you are 100% right with the fact that it's nice that they didn't portray Gabrielle Union's character as a victim. I mean, I'm a really big fan of her work.
Me too.
And I really like her. She was probably someone who I've had the longest crush on.
Really?
And I did an interview with her long time ago when
I
had a crush on her when I talked to her on the camera. I really do admire her, and I love that she's been in this game so long. I mean, she really has, and it's nice to see her front and center. I just wish the movie wasn't so damn stupid. I mean, this is a dumb movie. I mean, everything
How you really
about
feel
it,
about that,
everything about it is dumb. Everything. I mean, they do this wonderful scene in the beginning where, like, they build it sets up kind of like where the story is going. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who has interest in seeing it, but you know, the opening kind of like had me hooked. I was into it, and then they're driving up to the house, and you know, it's an annoying scene of her driving, the kids making, arguing.
That's what I mean about the cliche.
God.
That's very cliche.
It's like, how many movies have we seen this in? And then they get to the house, and it's just like one thing after another. And just nothing makes sense. Like, and these are the dumbest criminals I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you have that one white guy who looks like a surfer, who was like completely like,
cliche.
Oh, such a cliche, but he was just like so brain dead. Like, he would just keep walking outdoors and not closing them behind him.
And I think that's the one that had a conscience, right?
Yeah. He was always like, oh, why are we doing this, man? We're going to get in trouble. And then there was that one outside, which like went down so quickly, which was ridiculous. And it's like,
that was in the woods. Like, the fact that he was in the woods so long and he never had an opportunity to get away. Like, there was no way he could get that tourniquet from around his mouth or untie himself. Like, really? He was in the woods that
long? She's sitting there like half the night, like running around trying to get into the house. And he's just sitting there behind a tree. Like,
that
come
made
on.
Me
like,
laugh. I was like, I can't with that.
And then I got what you said. And it was weird because watching Billy Burke, because he's also a pretty decent actor. So watching him and Gabrielle, and then you're like, you're watching those two and you're like, why are you in this movie? It's so beneath you. And I don't even know, because as it kind of went on, it just got to the point where I just started laughing. Like, there's a scene, right, where she jumps on that stairs, like she's trying to hide from it. She's like hanging on like Spider-Man.
But wait,
like,
first of all, I was like, I was like, she don't have no nails.
I know,
huh?
Right.
She obviously does not have a manicure, which I found that hard to believe, that somebody that comes from that kind of money didn't have a manicure, didn't have some gel nails or something. Like, how she, and you're right, she was hanging on like Spider-Man. I'm like, really? Is she, and the other, and you were talking about the beginning, how you were invested in the beginning. Baby, that first 5 minutes of the film, it made me twist my metal knee. I was like, ouch. because I jumped. You know, I don't like horror stuff.
Right.
So that first moment made me jump. And there was something else that made me jump. And I jumped hard enough that I twisted my metal knee. Uh-huh. I'm like, really? Are y'all going to take me out like that? Is that what the next... And it was a short film. It was 88 minutes long.
Right.
But I'm
Thank God.
But I'm like, is this how Breaking In going to take me out, having me twist my knee while I'm watching it? I was not happy.
I don't, it's just like you said. I mean, you really summarized it. I don't really have much to say, because you really did a great job of summarizing
it. Well, thank you,
Scott
Mizell.
It's so cliched, and it's just beat by beat by beat, the same thing over and over again. And it's funny because Gabrielle's performance is so above everything else in this movie. So you're watching her spew this dialogue. I have to point this one thing out. The sensors, right? There's it's a smart home that they're breaking into,
yes.
Right? And it's so conveniently used throughout the movie. Like, they're like, oh, at times we're going to go over to the smart home computer and, like, we're going to look at all the cameras. But then she's running through the house and there's no sensor whatsoever going off. It made no sense.
Yeah.
It was like, whenever it was convenient for them to use it, they used it.
Yeah.
And then other times they were like,
oh,
forget about it.
I agree. But I love the fact that it was her son that pointed out.
Yes.
Pointed out in the beginning about the he said, oh, anybody. And he says, oh, this is so easy, anybody could use it. So when everybody starts using later on in the film, you're like, oh, well, her son said anybody could use it.
Which is also kind of surprising, right? Because, like, kids are very, you know, they grew up with technology. They're very resourceful when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. There should have been a learning curve considering those people. Some of those people had like the IQ, you know, of like a monkey.
Oh my
like,
God. They were the worst.
They were the dumbest. Like,
they were the dumbest criminals ever. They
go on the roof? Like, they all go on the roof together? Like, what was that scene
about?
They
were the dumbest criminals ever on the face of the planet.
People were screaming in my theater. Like, they were yelling at the screen because it was so stupid. They were like, oh, come on. Oh, come on. Like, normally I would get mad when people are talking, but like it was so engaging to have everyone else kind of like talk back to the screen. I was like all for it. I was like, yeah, please keep talking to the screen. It's more interesting.
In my theater, it was just me and my mom that were talking to the screen. Me and my mother were going in. It was hilarious. My mom is my screening buddy, and we were like, what? Just talking to the screen. I was like, what is that? Why did that happen? I'm like, shh. She's like, nobody's listening to us. I'm like, well, they're really not, so no. We could just say anything we wanted to.
But you know what this proves, once again? We've talked about this a bunch of times, too, is that this is a cheaply made movie. It was made for $6 million, made 16.5 at the box office. That's already three times what it would cost to make.
Exactly.
And
it's gonna keep hanging on.
It's like a Blumhouse movie. It doesn't matter as long as it gets a little bit more.
Look, Will Packer and Dion Cole are doing their thing. Big ups to them. I'm glad that somebody is getting out there and walking the walk and talking the talk and not just bumping their gums and doing nothing about it. So kudos to them. You know who else we want to give kudos to?
Who?
Our girl Maria Menounos. Yes, because she has a podcast that drops every Friday called Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. It features celebrity and influencer interviews from health to... I can't talk today. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria show you everything that you need to know in her podcast edition of Conversations with Maria Menounos. So, go over to iTunes, subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos, and guess what, y'all? It is free. And when you get over there, tell her that Scott Menzel and Carla Renata from Black Tomatoes sent you over there. Again, Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition drops every Friday on iTunes. Check it out. Give them 5 stars and let them know that Scott and Carla sent you over there from Black Tomatoes. So, having talked about Miss Maria, let's talk about a little Marvel action.
Sure.
They have announced that Captain Marvel is going to add Annette Bening and someone else to the cast. I can't remember who the other person is. So, do you remember?
I do not. But I know Annette Bening is the big deal.
Yeah, and she's going to play... They're saying that she's going to play as Mom.
Oh, is it... It's Ben Mendelsohn.
That's it.
Yeah, Ben Mendelsohn.
I was like, I knew there was another name.
No. There's definitely Ben Mendelsohn. Because I remember when Ready Player One came out and I did the press day, I asked him. And he was like, only thing I could tell you is that I'm in it. And I'm like, okay.
Okay. So Ben Mendelsohn and Annette Bening are going to be in Captain Marvel.
I am stupid excited. You know like how you were excited about Black Panther?
Yeah.
I'm stupid excited for Captain Marvel. Okay. Because I'm a Brie Larson fanboy.
I love Brie Larson too.
See, the movie that you haven't seen, Short Term 12, like was like my masterpiece. Like I was promoting that movie like crazy. Like I was making everyone watch it. Like we did Brie Larson for Best Actress way back when for that movie. I love that movie. And ever since then, you know, watching her career, and I mean, she's really exploded the last couple of years.
I love her though. She's the real deal. She's like a real true movie star. I love her so much.
I love that movie too, Scott.
Yes.
So good.
Yes.
So good.
I love Marissa Murphy's like, let me just chime in and say what I love.
That movie, you know, Rami Malek was in there, mm-hmm. who now is in Mr. Robot. Mm-hmm. You had Lakeith Stanfield, mm-hmm. also his first role.
Love him.
Yes. He's great, too.
Love him.
And then Kathleen Denver, something like that. She's in Casual. Yeah. And she was also in the last Jason Reitman movie. So, I mean, and she was also in Detroit. So, I mean, a lot of great careers came out of that movie.
Okay. All right.
So
all right. Captain Marvel would have popped off a whole nother conversation.
Yes, sorry.
And then I also wanted to talk about this. Do you know about Passion Flicks?
No. What is Passion Flicks?
Let me enlighten you. I love when I know something that you don't. It like makes it rocks my world. So Passion Flicks is a new streaming service, especially for commercial-free, sweet and flirty rom-coms and in like those sexy kind of dramas, sizzling sexy dramas. So they
Like 50 Shades?
Something like that, ooh. Yes, like 50 Shades. Ooh. And they are at PassionFlix.com, and it's $5.99 a month, because a lot of those films, you can't find them on Netflix, you can't find them on Hulu, you can't find them on Movies Anywhere, or Movies Everywhere, or any of those other streaming sites, but you can find them at PassionFlix.com. So that's going to be really, really cool.
Cool. Two things I want to talk about. One, I want to make a correction from last week.
Okay.
Because I'm going to do this every week if we say something, and I'm going to correct us if we say it wrong.
What did we say
wrong? Fahrenheit 451 was HBO, not Netflix. We said it was
Netflix. I did say it was Netflix.
Yep. Yeah. So I just wanted to, and I agree with you, so I wanted to make sure that we were both on the same page. But let's talk about that that walk at Cannes. The 82 women walk for Me Too, and I love that jury this year. I mean, Ava
DuVernay,
and Kristen Stewart and Cate Blanchett. I'm all for it.
I love the Cate Blanchett. They did that walk, and then they stood on those red stairs, and they talked about, you know, how all of those women on those stairs, they weren't just actresses. They were cinematographers. They were sound engineers. They come from every single platform and lane that is involving making a motion picture. So everyone across the board was represented in terms of women and in terms of lanes. And I love the fact that they did that at Cannes, because they've done it every place else. They did it at Sundance.
Right.
They've done it all across the country. I think Cannes was the only place that they hadn't done it. So that was really, really great. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, people, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that Ava DuVernay is the first woman of color to be on a jury at Cannes. I'm almost positive that's the case.
I think
I saw her tweet something about that. And if I'm wrong, I'm sure the people in the chat room will let me know. y'all are hardcore. You don't have no problem letting me know anything. I appreciate you for it. They will call me out. They'll be like, she don't know nothing. I know a lot about a lot of things, but I don't know everything. So there's that. But
I mean, it's fascinating watching that. I saw it on the news the other day, and I mean, there's something really empowering to watch something like this unfold at a very prestigious film festival.
Yep.
I mean, there is a difference between watching something like this at the Cannes Film Festival versus Sundance or
absolutely.
TIFF, because it's overseas.
It's international.
It's international, but it's also like ritzy and hoity-toity. Like, it's so up there. So to watch this kind of unfold on this platform, and then there's been all these great stories coming out, like Ava and Kristen Stewart are doing something, working together to kind of launch some film program at Universal with Jessica Chastain, I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
I might be wrong on that. It might be two stories, but I know there's like a whole bunch of stuff coming out. And I'm so excited to see this, because finally it's happening.
I am too.
It's taken forever.
I am too. And I'm really happy to see that, you know, it's been 6 months, I think, since everything kind of popped off and hit the fan.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that this wasn't something that lasted for, it was a quick soundbite on the news and then it went away. I'm glad to see that people are walking the walk, talking the talk, and not bumping, like I said before, not bumping their gums and not putting their elbow grease and their power and their what's the word I'm looking for? Their star power, I guess star power behind what they're doing. So I'm really excited about it. As a woman in the industry, I'm like uber excited about it. What I'm not, and this has nothing to do with film, but I just have to say this. What I'm not excited about is that ABC Television picked up a whole bunch of shows.
Yeah.
None of them had people of color in them. They were all lily white. And I'm just like, really?
Did they really?
Yeah, I mean.
I there's been so many announcements this week with television shows being canceled
phone,
and renew, and I'm like, oh my
phone,
God.
Like 50 things have popped off at one time, but they, ABC particularly, shot all these pilots with women of color in the leads.
So Yvette didn't get her show?
Most likely two did not get picked up. And I personally took that hard. Like, I'm sure Yvette took it hard. As a matter of fact, I know she did. But I took it hard because
how would they turn that down with her and Diablo Cody? Why would they turn that down?
That's what I'm saying. They turned that down, but then they put in a show on ABC with Brad Garrett about a blended family.
That guy doesn't even sell. No
shade,
one watches him. No.
Look, no shade to Brad Garrett. I think Brad Garrett is hella funny, and I like him, but can we just see something other than the norm on television?
Yeah,
it's getting on my nerves.
He's had so many shows, and they haven't done that well either.
It's getting on my nerves.
It's weird.
And they canceled Kevin Can Wait.
Okay.
They renewed Man with a Plan. They gave a thumbs up to Cedric the Entertainer's new pilot called Welcome to the Neighborhood.
Oh, they did give that one?
They gave a thumbs up to Lorel's new pilot. But I'm just like...
Is that... What channels are those on? You know?
Lorel... I'm not sure...
Fox, right?
I'm not sure if Lorel is on Fox or NBC.
It is Fox.
But I know Welcome to the Neighborhood is on CBS. That I know for sure. But I'm just like... I just had to throw that out there because it was bothering me. And, you know, I have a microphone so I can say something. And I don't know who's listening or who's not listening. But I need for them to know that it is about time that... reality in America is reflected on television and on film. Like, they're doing a little bit. Like, I'm starting to see people of color and mixed couples in commercials, which when I was doing commercials and coming up, you would never see that. Remember how much flack a couple of years ago the Cheerios commercial got?
Oh, my God, yes.
And now, it's no big deal. You see mixed couples on commercials all the time. I'm like, can we see them? And the one show that had a mixed couple on television on ABC, Alex Inc., they canceled that too.
Oh, that show was terrible, though.
Was it, though?
Oh, it was terrible.
It looked funny.
It was bad.
It was bad. Okay.
It was bad. Hey, and it's not just me. Ashley said it, too.
Ashley said it.
She was like, nope, I'm not having
this. She's like, no, I'm not having
I feel bad for Zaph Braff. I mean, that guy, you know, he started off with Scrubs. And then he did Garden State, and then everything else has been like womp womp.
He's funny. I think in this industry, it really is about timing. Even with the films that we talked about with Life of the Party and Breaking In, it's all about timing. I mean, there was a time in America you would not have seen two women open two major films on Mother's Day weekend.
I know, going head to head. Two women going head to head.
That would not have happened. So that in itself shows that there is just a little bit of progress. I'm really glad about that. I am going to talk about these two movies that I know you have not seen, but I promised I would talk about them.
Sure, no problem.
So one of them is called Coming to My Senses. It's a documentary. It's a documentary about this motocross racer who has a spinal cord injury, the same type of spinal cord injury that Christopher Reeve had, right?
Oh, okay.
And they were telling him that he wasn't going to be able to feed himself, that he couldn't walk, he couldn't do this, he couldn't do that. And not only is he walking, but he walked across Death Valley in 6 days.
Wow.
It was the most impressive thing I've ever seen him out. He made me feel bad. He made me feel so, I felt so trifling and lazy after I watched that. I was like, his name is Aaron Baker. Aaron Baker, if somebody is having a bad day or feeling like they're not doing enough in life, or they had knee surgery or hip surgery or any kind of surgery or thing happened in their life that has flipped them into a place of mental despair, they need to watch Coming to My Senses, because watching that documentary will flip you right on out of it. I was uber impressed. Uber, uber impressed. And one of the other things I was impressed about that film is that when he got his injury, he found out that there aren't that many facilities across the country that are able to accommodate people with a spinal cord injury or disabilities in general. There's like 34 or maybe 43 facilities in the whole United States. That's not a lot for rehab. So he started his own, and it's called CORE, C-O-R-E. So look it up online. It's called Coming to My Senses. They have a site, comingtomysenses.com. And I have an interview with them. I do have an interview with them that I did. So check it out at thecurvyfilmcritic.com. Another film I want to talk about is one called Landing Up.
I heard of this one.
You heard of this one?
Yeah. So I don't know what it is, though.
This is the thing about Landing Up. So Landing Up stars this chick named Stacey Malton, and it's about a homeless girl that has a secret. And basically the secret is let me backtrack. So Stacey plays Chrissy. Chrissy's homeless, and Chrissy meets this guy in a bar that wants to take her out and ultimately wants to become her boyfriend. But she has this secret that she's homeless. She hadn't told him that she's homeless, right? So she's figuring out how she's going to tell him, you know, what the situation is without him finding out on his own. And then, you know, as usual in these types of films, he finds out and it becomes this whole thing. But there is a little twist at the end that I was not expecting. I was like, ooh, did that just happen? It was kind of interesting. So I would say, you know, check it out. But the real tragedy with this film is that it features this young lady named Adina Hines. And Adina Hines is Morgan Freeman's great-granddaughter. She was brutally murdered by her boyfriend. So I didn't get to, obviously I did not get to speak to Adina Hines because her life was tragically taken before the film started to do their little press tour. But her work in this film is really quite special. And I'm hoping that people will get an opportunity to see it because it's a shame we won't get to see any more work from her because she's a really solid actress. She really, really is. And Stacey Malton wrote the screenplay for Landing Up in addition to starring in it. And the one thing that I really love about it is that it sheds a light on homelessness. There are people walking around. There might be some film critics that we know that might be homeless.
Yeah, you I would know. Never, you, this, some of them look like it.
I can't with you. But I'm just saying, in this day and age, you don't know what a homeless person looks like.
No, you're right.
You do not know what the face of a homeless person looks like. And it's a real problem, as we see on the news every day. I mean, right around the corner from where I live in the San Fernando Valley, there's like a homeless village. It's like taking up this whole stretch of highway where I live. And people are threatened by that. But what we don't understand is that a lot of these homeless people, they have become disabled. In Chrissy's case in the film, she had an apartment where she lost her job and then just couldn't afford to pay rent. Because think about it. This film takes place in New York City. In order to get an apartment in New York City or any place for that matter, you got to have 3 months rent and first and last month. Like 3 months security deposit and first and last month's rent to rent an apartment.
Especially if you don't have credit. I mean, exactly. If you have really good credit, you might be able to get away with 1 month's rent.
Exactly. And you have to show 3 years of tax returns to prove that you make 80%, that you can make 80% of what the yearly total of that rent is. I'm like, what? That's crazy.
I mean, homelessness in general is a really tough discussion, and I feel like it's the reason why no one talks about it, because how do you solve something right now, like in LA, where the housing market, where you and I both work, and at the end of the day we're still like bare bones with our money. So
absolutely.
And we work hard, we have jobs, you know, we do this, we work regular jobs, and so you think about that and then you say, like, how are college students going to afford living once they get out of school? Because they're not going to get a $100,000 job right away.
No, they're not.
They're going to get a $15 to $12 an hour job.
Absolutely.
So homelessness is a big deal, and I mean, I know there's this controversy movement going on right now, and I'm sure you saw it down in LA where they have homeless as the Hollywood sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to solve it, and I don't think anyone's really has any answers for it.
I know that the politicians in the Los Angeles area are trying to create housing for the homeless community here in LA. There was a motion on one of the ballots not too long ago where we had to vote for that. That was 2 years ago, and they still have not erected this housing yet. So that makes one of my eyebrows go up. What are y'all doing? Because I see some other things happening, but you can't find your way to do this one thing that we all voted for 2 years ago. It's been 2 years, and now we're getting ready to have another election. So I'm going to need some politicians to get off their butt and do something. That's not hot. The other thing about Landing Up is that they partnered with the Midnight Mission to try to raise money for that organization. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Midnight Mission, it's an organization that helps the homeless people all year round, but particularly during the holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas. They provide meals for families that, you know, otherwise that would be the only meal, the only decent meal that they would have for the whole year, let alone a month or a week or a day. So go to Landing Up to check out that film. Go to midnightmission.com to see if you want to engage and help with those organizations or volunteer. They're really good organizations. I've volunteered there myself, and the work that they do there is exemplary. I really enjoyed myself, had a good time. So what do you want to see next week?
Deadpool, which I'm seeing tomorrow. And I'm very excited about it.
And is Solo coming out next week or week after?
Solo
next?
Is the week after.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that then too.
Yes,
I saw that. I did want to say that I watched, do you watch the Netflix series Dear White People?
I do not.
Okay. So
I saw the film, though.
I did not like the film. And
I love that
did
movie.
You? Interesting. I did not like the film very much because I felt like it was just like, you know, like white people movie where like they try to be pretentious and like just about white people. I thought that was a black people movie where they're just being pretentious to talk about black people. But the show the show for me really won me over, and I was hooked on the first season. And it ends in a way where with something that's always going on in the media, where one of the students is actually held at gunpoint and he's not doing anything wrong. They just mm-hmm. go to break up a party mm-hmm. and he's held at gunpoint. And in the second season, which I just finished watching today, mm-hmm. the whole thing basically talks about how this this movement of, you know, Black Lives Matter, and how that stuck with this one character. So throughout this entire second season, he's having flashbacks. Every time he sees a white person, he's imagining someone pointing a gun.
Oh no, that's not hot.
And there's this character, Samantha White, who also runs the Dear White People show on like the radio show.
Right.
And
I remember her from the movie.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I think it's a different actress.
But I remember that premise.
Wasn't it Tessa?
It was Tessa Thompson in the movie. Mm-hmm.
Who actually has a guest appearance in this one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, as a controversial figure who's a right-wing
nut job.
She's really great. But I just really enjoyed the show. And I wanted to bring this up because unlike the movie where I felt like it was very much talking to a specific audience, this one's very nice because it has a lot of social commentary. It has a very big importance on the way that white people see black people and vice versa. But I love that some of the characters in this in the TV show are actually white, and that some of the black characters fall for white people.
Well, it takes place in a college, right?
Right. But the whole thing is someone burned down like the old hall in the first episode, and then the white people had to move in with the black people in this one. And so there's like, you know, the black people feel a certain way about it. The white people's like, oh, this is just our territory. And turf war. You know what I mean?
That's not
so hot. This is a lot of show. I mean, there's a lot of show. Like, there's the Dear Black People, Dear White People show, and then they do one called Dear Right People, which is the right wings butchering the black people for doing the show about the white people.
I'm gonna have to check it out because you're excited about it, so I might have to check it out. I love the movie.
Well, what I loved about it, you know, above all, is that this one really had, and this was in the movie too, where like the character was mixed race. The main character was mixed race, mm-hmm. and the Samantha White in this show is mixed race as well, mm-hmm. and she's just really, she's really well rounded and really well crafted. Mm-hmm. And this second season deals a lot with her not only embracing her black side, but also her white side.
Didn't the young lady who plays the lead in the TV series, didn't she have to turn down some major movie because they wouldn't let her out of Dear White People? I remember
you
people talking
right.
about
you
this,
might be right.
But I don't remember what film it was. Ooh, I wish I could remember that right now.
You might be right.
Do you remember that?
I do, but I don't remember what movie it is.
I'm going to find out.
But she was, I just loved how this show kind of evolved so much that not only does it talk about important topics, but someone of a mixed race who, like, for the first half of the season, completely was just talking about black, you know, black. Mm-hmm. And then because of this movement that's going on in the campus where all these white, you know, these white supremacists are coming out and all these mm-hmm. white hate groups, you know, she has to look at her other side of who she is. Mm. And something happens in the second half of the mm-hmm. season, and it really ultimately helps her out to kind of come full circle as a human being.
Wow.
And there's a great, it's episode 8, where there's a great scene between her lover from the first season, who is a white guy. And the entire episode is just them going back and forth, having a conversation, yelling at one another. Hmm. But the words coming out of both their mouths are so realistic and so heart-wrenching. It was a really emotional episode. I loved it.
I'm going to have to check
so
it out.
So I really recommend this show. I think it's a great, great
okay.
show.
All right. Okay, cool. So what is going to be your rating for Life of the Party? How many
We're doing
tomatoes?
4 out of 5, right?
Four out of five.
Okay, 4 out of 5 for me.
Okay. I'm giving Life of the Party 5 out of 5 because I love Melissa McCarthy. All right. And for Breaking In. You got to give it something.
One and a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. I'll give it 3.5. Oh! I give it 3.5.
Give it 3 at least.
I'm going to give it 3.5. So next week, we're going to... You saw on Chesil Beach, right?
Yes.
So next week, and you saw Show Dogs.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Are you going to see Pope Francis, the doc?
No.
Okay, I'll see that.
Okay.
So, and you saw Book Club.
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk about, we're definitely going to talk about Deadpool 2.
Yes.
And we may or may not talk about Show Dogs. And
no, we can talk about Show Dogs. It'll be very quick.
Okay, we'll talk about Show Dogs. We're going to talk about Show Dogs, Deadpool 2, and...
Book Club?
And Book Club, and maybe on Chesil Beach. Maybe.
Okay.
Okay, so this is Carla Renata, your host for Black Tomatoes. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. Check out all of my reviews that we talk about on Black Tomatoes at thecurvyfilmcritic.com. And where can we find you, Scott?
You can find me at The Other Scott M on Twitter and Instagram. And go to weliveentertainment.com to read all my written reviews and my interviews. Thank you.
All right. So until next week. Join us next week for episode 13 of Black Tomatoes on Black Hollywood Live. Go to iTunes, give us those 5 stars, and talk to us in the chat room. We will talk back. Until next week, love, peace, and hair grease, y'all. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined!
The expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.